Reverend Barnhart.
All right, please be seated. Thank you very much. We're going to take our Bibles this morning, turn to Titus. That's right after Timothy. Another reason I want to talk about the listening to the CD subscriptions after the fact is that our minds have a tendency to do something during the teachings many times, or even during fellowship, or maybe even during the time that you came in here, and they get distracted. Anybody ever get distracted in their mind? I mean, have you thought about anything else since you came in here today? You think about maybe what you're going to do afterwards? Think about paying the bills, thinking about the baby up at Children's Fellowship, thinking about what you did yesterday, thinking about the husband who's at home. Our minds are out of control! No. That sounds like Jim Carrey, doesn't it? But our minds are really an interesting phenomenon. And in Titus, God gives us this exhortation about holding fast the faithful word in Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word. Well, you know where you hold it fast? In your mind. But you know, most people have a very difficult time staying their mind on much of anything for a very long period of time. I mean, and we're geared, we're trained and groomed in this sort of mentality. I mean, if you watch television, which I'm sure no one in here does much of, but even like when the commercials come on, you know, there's just one commercial, then another commercial, then another commercial, then another commercial. It's just like you're constantly being bombarded with information. And, you know, in a biblical culture, there was much more of an emphasis on training and teaching people to stay their minds for periods of time, actually long periods of time. There was a gentleman a number of years ago, some of you know him, some know of him. His name was Dr. Werwell. He was involved in an organization called The Way International. Wonderful teaching ministry during the 60s, 70s, 80s, pretty much. And he taught about how he trained his mind to think about God, and he trained it with a metronome. Every time, you know what a metronome is? It keeps beats with like a piano. Click, 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 God, 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 God. And then he would speed it up. God, 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 God. I think it started fast. God, 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 God. And then it started slower so you could have pauses in between there. You know, our minds are like a muscle. And we don't want our minds to really get atrophied so that they just, you know, get lazy. We really have to work on them. So I want to look and this is a great verse here, Titus 1:9, where it says, holding fast the faithful word. We've kind of rephrased this in light of that we would retain the word. First of all, we receive the word, which is what we're doing now, which is what many of us have done for many, many years. We receive the word. But then the exhortation of God's word is to retain the word. And that's a second part of a three-step process that once we retain that word, is that then we would have something to release. Release. So we receive the word of God, we retain the word of God, we hold it fast, see? And then we release it. The word retain, I looked it up in a dictionary. It means to keep possession of, to continue to use or to practice. It's to continue to hold or to have, to keep in mind, in the mind, or to remember. It is to hold in place or position. I used to wear, when I was a kid, I used to wear braces. And they've changed the technology now, but I have to wear this strap around the back of my head, and you had these retainers in your mouth, and you wore it at night. I mean, you'd be so embarrassed to wear that around out in date. But that was called a retainer, right? And there are some people who still wear retainers to keep their teeth where? In position, right? To hold them in place. Well, that holding fast of God's Word means we need to retain that Word of God right up here in our minds, because there are so many things that are trying to rob us and steal our peace. See, make us all freaking uptight so that we just aren't functioning very well. Well, look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And so my teaching is entitled this morning, The Prosperous Mind. Prosperity is much more than receiving and retaining money in abundance and material possessions. The prosperous mind is one mind that receives and retains information to the point that it can act wisely and make wise choices and decisions. John chapter 10, verse 10. Possibly you've seen this verse before. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Now, if the adversary, our enemy, knows verses like Isaiah 26:3 that say, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on thee." Well, then he might want to distract that individual so that individual's not staying their mind on God, because the end result of doing that and of the things of God are going to be peace. Well, there's an enemy who's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to steal your joy. He's trying to steal your happiness. And one of the great ways that he can do that is by getting you distracted so you don't really think about the things of God that much. You think about your work. You think about your home. You think about getting home and watch a football game. What's in the oven? I wish I would have brought this thing, but there's a great example of about a person who woke up and was going to go to the mailbox. Maybe I shared this once before, or maybe you've seen this. It came in an email. The person was going to go to the mailbox. They got up and they said, "I'm going to the mailbox." Well, on the way to the mailbox, they saw the garbage was full. So they picked up the garbage and got that all taken care of, and they figured they'd just take that out at the same time they were going to the mailbox. Well, on the way out there, they stumbled upon something else. There was something laying on the floor, so they put the garbage down and started fumbling around with that sort of thing. Then they decided they were thirsty, so they went to the refrigerator, got something from there. Then the phone rang. Then something else happened, and something else happened, and something, you know, eventually, you know, the whole day had gone by, and I'm not even sure they got to the mailbox. See? And that's many times what life ends up being like for many people, is you just roll out of bed and you're just rolling into the next thing. And sometimes it's hard to even catch up. We want to retain the Word of God. We got to receive it first, and then we got to retain it. To keep it possession of, to continue to use or practice, to continue to hold or to have, to keep in mind or to remember, to hold in place or position. Retemorizing Scripture, which is a word that basically has been coined by the believers over the last number of years, means to retain in the memory. It means to you can't look up the word retemory in the dictionary. It's not there. We've made up our own word. To retain in the memory. Ooh, Daddy Long Legs. To retain in the memory is to remember and succeed in the competition. To retain Scripture in our memory is to remember and succeed in the competition, the spiritual competition that we're in, with joy. We have to do something to be able to replace our thoughts, our thinking. And I know at times this is challenging for us to think, but what do you think about? What do you think about? That's a very challenging thing for us to think about. Many of us, maybe the first thing we would think about is, my God, how am I going to make enough money to live out here in god-awful California? How do you people live out there? The cost of real estate, the cost of food, the cost of this. I mean, what do you want? Would you just all drop dead right now? I mean, you know what I mean? Come on. But you know what consumes many people's thoughts? Money. Just listen. Listen many times to what people converse about. Believers, not believers. Get in a conversation. Just be around people. And it will not be long before the number one topic comes up. You know what it is? Money. Money. Man, I just wish I had more of it. Well, people aren't usually saying, I got too much of it. I'm looking for a place to give it away. Got any ideas? Man, I got so much abundance. You need any money? Do you need like a check for $5,000? That's not normally the issue, is it? No. It's how can I get more? More of it. More of it. More of it. How much is enough? What's the number? 5 million? 10 million? 50 million? One? I don't know. See, I think it's a carrot that the adversary dangles in front of people to keep them distracted. See? Keep them distracted. Because you look at the simplicity of the word, what does the word say? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. End of story. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these material things shall be added unto you, right? That's what God's word says. But what do people talk about? I need this. I need that. I don't have that. Our world teaches us that we never have enough. We don't, whatever level we're at, it's not enough. And so my question this morning is, what is enough for you? See. Or are our priorities maybe in the wrong place? See. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. To retain Scripture in our memory is to remember and succeed in the spiritual competition with joy. Over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about the importance of the mind. Bob taught about those verses in Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, let's look at it. And I'm not up here to expound about how great I can memorize and retain Scripture. But you know what? It has helped me. It's not a bad thing for people to retain the Scriptures in their memory. It's just not a religious activity. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know what kills many people? Their past. What they've made mistakes doing. Well, doggone it, we're all part of the same, we're in the same race, the human race. We've all made mistakes. None is excluded from that. But you know, the exhortation of God's word is, forget the past. Reach forward. Reach forth unto those things which are before. I press. I pursue towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Your past starts dragging you down. You know, maybe this would be a good scripture verse to have right in the forefront of your mind. You know, it says, God's word says to forget the past. Romans chapter 6 says we can walk in newness of life. Now, either this is true or it's not. So how are we going to convince ourselves to get to the point of believing it? That's why it's so great to be able to listen to those CDs over and over and over and over and over again. How long do you think it takes to learn something? To really get to the point of believing it? Most people hear things one time and they forgot about it. If you ask them in detail what that thing was about, 20 minutes later, they can't tell you. Try doing that with somebody's name. What was that person's name? And see, most people don't give themselves enough credit for their own memory. They say, I can't do it. Okay. Then guess what? You can't. Because you have determined, you have made the decision, I can't do it. I can't memorize things. I'm sorry. I mean, because the confession of that which we believe is a critical issue, isn't it? That's why when I first began to really learn to retain the scriptures, I wrote scriptures down. I wrote them out. I just did this last week with Joshua 1:9. That's one we're going to talk about today a little bit. But it says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9. How did I do that? Did I just that magically just show up in my mind one day? I don't have a photographic memory. And now we're going to mention a very unique word, discipline. Discipline. The things of God, you have to apply yourself to them. You just don't learn scripture verses and walk with God automatically. Every person in here who's been in this fellowship for a long period of time ought to know the books of the Bible by memory. You want to stand up right now, anybody, any one of you, and pop them off? Mary Lee, there you go. See, I mean, it's kind of like, what are we really doing? What are we really doing? Because the adversary really knows. He's a thief. He wants to rob, steal, kill, and destroy people's lives. And he'll do that by getting their thought life really off track. You know, a number of years ago, I think they were doing, what was this in the, Dr. Worrell used to teach this in the advanced class, when they were doing the Chinese Revolution. You know, the thing they marched down the middle of the street? The printing press. Not guns, not weapons, not great show of power and authority. The printing press. You know why? Because they knew if they could get to people's minds, they could convince people. That's where the battlefield takes place, ladies and gentlemen, is right up here. And that's why we have to really be sharp spiritually to make the right and proper decisions so that our true motives are godly. Because out of the heart proceed the issues of life. Well, where is your heart being programmed? By the thoughts you're thinking. See? And so the question becomes, what do you think of? What do you think about? I mean, if the only time we think about God and God's Word is when we come in here for a short, brief period of time, and then go back out there and just live like everybody else who's struggling to make a living or exalting whatever material thing they've got, then, you know, what separates us? First Thessalonians chapter 2. And I know this can be challenging to our minds. But you know, your mind was designed to hold the Word of God. We can cram a lot of information in there. You know, to remember something means to recall to the mind by an act or an effort of memory. It is to retain in the memory. It is to keep in mind. It implies that a thing exists in the memory, though not actually present in the thoughts of the moment. It is to bring back to the conscious mind things that exist in the memory. That's what to remember really means. Memory is the mental capacity or faculty of retaining and reviving impressions or of recalling or recognizing previous experiences. It is the state or fact of collective remembrance. In computer language, it's referred to as storage. You got a computer with a lot of memory? You got a fast computer. It's a lot of storage. Your mind was designed by God to store the Word of God. To hold that Word of God in mind. What is the definition, as we've been taught, of the renewed mind? It is to hold the Word in mind and act accordingly. You ever heard that before? See? You see, mental assent to the Word of God is like cancer. Mental assent does everything with God's Word except act on it literally. You say, oh yeah, I believe in God's Word. God's Word's the greatest thing going. But doesn't really genuinely believe it. It's a senses faith. Senses faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we want our minds to be prosperous. To really have that Word of God just so incorporated into us. Well, how are we going to do that? We've got to make the decision to do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Right? Okay. It's not my word. I'm not the one who's out there telling you to do what Barney says. God says we want good success, good prosperity. Hold fast the faithful word. It's the word that does the work. It's the word that does the work. See? Our lives and actions and behaviors are basically the result of how we think. And I've changed something recently. It's really kind of interesting. Todd and Shelley Gaby gave me a little alarm clock for my birth. I think my birthday or the holidays or whatever it was. We kind of have a little thing going on that happened during the summer one year. And anyway, he calls me Uncle Beverly. And this really interesting little alarm clock that I've now put by my bed, and he recorded it in his own voice, and he says, I love you, Uncle Beverly. It's an alarm clock. Do you know what? When I wake up in the morning, that's the first thing I hear. I don't hear, I hear words that encourage me. I hear words of love. That's the first thing I hear. What's the first thing you hear in the morning? What's the first, very first thing you think about when you wake up? Look at Psalm 119. This is such a great subject. It's something I really sort of had a passion for over the years. In terms, and I think, you know, God has just showed me the importance of really retaining the Scripture in your mind. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Probably someone in here knows this without even looking at it. I do. I challenge you to get to know some of these scriptures. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the encouragement of God's word. Either this book of word of God is revelation from Genesis to Revelation, or it's not. But you know what we do with these words? We have to make a conscious decision. Because once we're presented with the information of God's word, then we have a responsibility. One thing that we could possibly say is no. I will not do it. We've all heard our kids do that at times. No. I don't care what you say, how good it is for me. I'm not doing it. Okay. So be it. But see, the things of God, God tells us that these are good things for us to do, so we'll be blessed. So we'll be prosperous. So we'll have good success in life. And if someone wants to be stubborn and obstinate and say no, then you know what? No one's going to hold a gun to your head and make you do anything. It's really not a matter of how much of this Word of God we know. It's what kind of people are we becoming as a result of what we know. Are we ethical? Do we have good morals? Are we teaching our children honesty? Now I'm going to present a question for you that you just answer in the depths of your heart. Would you lie to make a business deal? Would you? Would you do it? If you knew you could make a lot of money by just lying, would you do it? Something, huh? This is the kind of world we live in that puts us in sort of compromising positions at times to really be challenged with things like integrity. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Look in Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by the name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. That this word of God becomes like a treasure chest. That word of God circulating through our brain cells is going to help to make us successful, to make us prosperous. In Bob's teaching, he incorporated the verses in Philippians chapter 3 about forgetting the past, pressing on. Vicky handled the ones about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of whom? Christ. See? And what I want to look at this morning is kind of a key verse is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Because, see, Scripture retained in our minds its nourishment for our souls. It's going to help us keep spiritually fit. Just as the physical man is fed with physical food, so the spiritual man is fed with spiritual food. The Word of God dwelling in your heart will help you to overcome fear and worry. And thousands of Christian believers have found Scripture retemeries a key to daily victory over the adversary. You have weak areas. I have weak areas. And so I learn to strengthen those weaknesses with certain specific verses of Scripture that help me to get through those periods of time or temptation or whatever it may be. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It doesn't say vice versa, does it? It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You ponder upon it. You contemplate it. You sit down and you think about it. You get quiet. And you spend some time alone. Well, that's a concept. That we actually just sit and meditate upon the things of God. That almost sounds good, doesn't it? It does sound good. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong. And of a good courage, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That is a great truth from God's word. He's saying, kids, Joshua, And Joshua was in a very tense situation right here. Moses has just died. Now he's rising, God is rising up Moses or Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And maybe that was a little bit intimidating, you know. Like saying Dan Meekes is going to be the president of the United States tomorrow. You know, it's like, oh my God. No, Dan, be strong. Be of a good courage. You know, God is with you wherever you go. So I want to give you a couple suggestions on how to retain Scripture in your mind. Choose a time when your mind is free from outside distraction. Or make a time. Read the context of the verse in the Bible. Include the reference, also the topic if you have one. Read the verse through several times aloud. And you break the passage into natural phrases. You learn the topic, the reference, the first phrase, then read the topic, the reference, first and second phrases. It's helpful to write out the verse as part of the process of being able to retain the Scriptures in your memory. And that's initially what I did when I first learned the Scriptures was I just wrote them out. Wrote them out maybe hundreds of times, you know, like Johnny will be a good boy. It was like the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have more abundantly. And once I got that down in my memory, I just moved on to the next one. The next one, the next one, the next one, the next one, next. I mean, what a profitable way to spend time. See? Rather than thinking about poverty, thinking about how God's going to bless you. Rather than worrying, think about thoughts of peace that God gives us from His Word. So that's basically, you know, kind of what was on my heart to share. And what we have done is we have provided you with a little enclosure and three scripture verses, which we're going to hand out to everybody here. So, Will, if you'd like to do that. This one is Joshua 1:9. This one is 2 Corinthians 10:5. And this one is Philippians 3:14. So those are going to be three that we're going to get started with. And then for a period of time, ongoing, we're going to be making up additional cards that you can put in these after the teachings. We'll have each teacher have one of these cards available. And you can keep them in your Bible or in your purse or whatever. But boy, these would be really great disciplinary exercises for your spiritual mind. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. See, boy, what refreshing and what positive words of encouragement as we speak the word to ourselves. See, and there are literally thousands of verses in God's word. And as we believe and as we speak that word to ourselves, we will be transformed. See, it's not that we aren't transformed. It's how do we deal with the process of being transformed? Change can be challenging. How do we deal with the process of change? I think a more positive way to deal with it is with the scriptures running through our minds that give us positive reinforcement as we go through the challenges and the changes of our day-to-day living. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow, what a comfort to a person's heart. God is with you. God is with you. We never compromise on God's word. See? So, Father, thank you for this wonderful word. And, Lord, I pray that things I've shared and helped people to understand today will go far beyond just this 20 or 30 minutes. That, Lord, we endeavor to work these things and concepts, principles in our mind, because this is your word. And it's far more powerful and far more life-giving and energizing and quickening than any words we could possibly ever come up with. So I pray, Father, that this will be a profitable week as God's people and all of us go forward with encouragement and strength and motivation, Father, to seek you and to understand the prosperity and the wisdom that you have for us as we live our lives. And so I pray, Father, for our integrity, the decisions we make in our lives and in our businesses and in our homes, raising our children, Father, that can be done with a true heart of love for you. And God, thank you where we fall short, that you forgive us, you help us, Father, but that we have a positive way to move forward as we're reminded of your word. And we thank you for your love and care for us, your kindness, Father. We praise you and thank you for just the many promises of your word that you have brought to pass in our hearts and lives and will continue to. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Outstanding.
All right. Outstanding. God bless you, Dan.